Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey, bringing you the best in Christian life on blogtalkradio.com. Just wanted to say welcome, everyone, as we begin 2015. We're calling this a year of preparation, and we're going to be talking a lot about preparation tonight. We're going to be looking at some examples. We're going to talk about why it's important to prepare. But one of the things that I want to mention to you, first of all, thank you to all of our followers on Facebook and on Twitter that we've picked up. You can follow our Twitter feed at FMG Live, the number 2 and the letter U. Please feel free to go if you're a new listener or if you just want to revisit some of our past episodes. Visit us on blogtalkradio.com and you can find a list of all of our past shows. All of those are archived and available to you to listen to at no cost. You can hear our interviews with folks like Robert Fowler, where we talked about Christian sports, evangelist Chance Walters, and what was coming up with him, his wonderful, wonderful testimony, Bill Hicks, who shared with us Bread of Life Ministries and what's going on with it and some of his stories from that ministry, Ryan Barbato, up-and-coming Christian singer, and his latest single that he debuted on our show. And you can also check out some of our special messages, Why God Created Man, our Thanksgiving message, and others, all on blogtalkradio.com. So when I began thinking about what I was going to talk about for the new year and what's going on with Blog Talk Radio, myself, the group of people that I have, I don't want to say attached myself to, but gathered around me and who God has brought to me, I really felt moved to think of 2015 as a year of preparation. A lot of times we get used to having catchphrases, and churches will have names for their years. It's a year, in our own church, we've used a year of multiplication, we've used the best is yet to come. We've used a lot of different phrases, but I really believe that 2015 for myself, for this program, for this ministry that we're building, this is our year of preparation. And it's really important for us as Christians to prepare. You know, we prepare for a lot of things. We get up in the morning and we prepare for work. I prepare for this show every week. We prepare our children to go to school every morning. But what really is the essence of preparation? A lot of people will take the word preparation and they'll think of it as a relaxing word. It's a word where they step back and say, okay, I'm going to prepare. The event is not here yet, so I've got time. But that's not what it's about. Preparation is about action. Preparation is about doing. And that's what 2015 is to me. It's about doing, and it's about taking action. And I challenge you to make that a year of preparation for you as well, where you step up and act. In the Bible, when we look in Genesis chapter 6, we find the story of Noah. Now, if there was ever a poster child in the Bible for preparation, Noah is certainly one of the first faces to come to mind. But the interesting thing about the story of Noah is that when God comes to Noah, we find the first mention of him is when the Bible says, when God says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's in chapter 6, verse 8. You see, Noah doesn't speak. We don't really hear Noah's thoughts any time prior to the flood. The only mentions of Noah are what he did, which and those mentions are how old he is, just so we some historical markers that we can, you know, validate and verify. Yes, that really was Noah, and that was who he was, and this is when it occurred, so that we can have a time frame and a timeline to go with. But it's all about God's instructions to Noah. And you find scattered through 6 and 7, chapter 6 and 7 in Genesis, the only real mentionings about Noah are things like chapter 6, 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know, I'm reading out of the King James Version tonight. And you see that come up again, and Noah went in, and Noah did this, and Noah did it because God commanded him. I think the problem that people have is we don't really know a lot about what Noah's reaction was other than this. He did what God commanded. He took action. When God said, prepare, Noah took action. Noah didn't stand around and say, well, God, I understand the flood's coming, and I know it's going to get here. I hear you. I believe in you. I trust in you. I know that on the day of the flood, when it starts, I and my family are going to be okay because you love us, and we have found grace in your sight, and we're going to be all right. Well, maybe that would have happened. Maybe God would have miraculously saved Noah and his family dead. God gives us an example of preparation. He saves Noah by telling Noah, take these actions. Because when the flood occurs, there isn't a whole lot when the event of the flood. You know how we mentioned earlier that a lot of people wait until the event occurs. But when the event occurred, there was nothing for Noah to do. Everything else was preparation. It was God who shut the door, who closed up the ark, and then the rains came. Noah sat in the boat. For 40 days and 40 nights it rained. Noah sat in the boat. The whole time it was raining, the event of this flood, Noah and his family, they fed the animals, they took care of themselves, they ate meals together. But they didn't do anything of consequence. They had no effect on the flood. The event that occurred, they had prepared for, and they had taken all of this action. Noah had built this ark to these very specific instructions that God had given him. And I love that God's specific in that way. You know, a lot of people might attack that story and say, oh, it's just a myth. If the Bible only said, well, God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah built the ark. I love that God confounds the wise of this world by giving Noah very specific dimensions, very specific instructions on how to construct the ark. Because God wanted Noah to be prepared. We don't know how long it took Noah to build that ark. We know that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. I don't know how long it takes to build an ark. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a shipbuilder. But that's a pretty big ark. I imagine it took a while. You know, and we a lot of times talk about how, well, you know, while Noah was building this ark, surely to goodness his neighbors were making fun of him. They'd never seen it rain before. There was a lot of, no doubt, teasing and mocking of Noah, the crazy old man, out there taking wood and hammering it together and making a big building out of it. He's calling it a ship. He's calling it an ark. You're going to put animals in it and ruin it. I don't know why you would do that. Those are things all that Noah's neighbors would have said. But Noah took action. He did as God commanded. So he became prepared. There's another person in the Old Testament who got prepared and who is an example of preparedness. Now, I really like this particular example because, and it's about Gideon. Gideon, if you're not familiar with the Bible, Gideon comes about in Judges. He was a military man, but he didn't start out that way. And he was a savior of the children of Israel and a leader of their armed forces. A lot of military people credit Gideon as the father, as the progenitor of special forces. But the only thing special about Gideon was God. And Gideon knew that. And that's why I like this story. And I like telling about the call that Gideon received because it's very human. And it is very relatable. And I think that if you're listening tonight, you will find a little bit of yourself in what Gideon says. And let's look at it. In Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 6, we're going to be reading, starting at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, the Midianites were a people that were in the Holy Land that the children of Israel were working to drive out. They were raiding in the Hebrew settlements. They were raiding the children of Israel and harassing them for food and supplies. And they were a force to be reckoned with. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Gideon, and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, that's an introduction. Wow, if someone came up to you on the street and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty woman or man or person of valor," you'd think they were crazy. And Gideon felt the same way. Because in verse 13, Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And so Gideon's response to an angel of the Lord appearing to him and saying, "You mighty man of valor," is an incredibly human one. He doesn't do what we would think that he should do, which is fall on his knees and say, "Thank you, God, and I love you, Lord." Instead, he starts complaining. He's like, "Where is the Lord?" He's like, "Lord, we're in this time of trouble. We have this bunch of Midianites who are just hammering us. And where are you?" Gideon has the nerve to say to God, "Where are you at? Why haven't you showed up? Who is this God who my father said, didn't he bring us out of Egypt?" He's got an attitude. He's showing sarcasm toward the Lord God Almighty. Now that takes some gumption, as we say here in North Carolina. Gideon was fed up. The only action he was taking was hiding out in the wine press because it had walls and he could thresh grain there without being seen. Probably had to be bent over and was not happy because his daddy had put him in this wine press threshing this grain when he should be out standing up straight, flailing it, and doing it out in the open. But he couldn't do that because if the Midianites saw him, they would just ride up, kill them all, and take it. So Gideon's upset about that. And he lets the Lord know. the Lord looked upon him, in verse 14, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So now, the Lord answers back. And he kind of ignores Gideon's sarcasm and Gideon's spite, and tells him, Go, and you're going to save Israel, because I sent you. And he kind of challenges Gideon, says, Have I not sent thee? Well, Gideon comes right back in verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. This is the part that I really like. Because this is where Gideon, realizing the call that the Lord has made unto him. Noah receives the call when God comes to him and says, Prepare. Gideon has an angel of the Lord appear to him, give him the word that he's going to save Israel, and that he needs to go and prepare. And Gideon's response after being mad about their situation is to say, Why did you pick me? Who am I? I am nobody from nowhere. And that, to me, is a really key point of the scripture. Because I can relate to Gideon. And I think most of you listening can do that too. Because our enemy wants us to believe that we are nobody from nowhere who can do no thing to help nobody. I know that was some bad English, but the point is, the devil wants you to believe that you are no one, that you are the least of your father's house, that you are unequipped and unprepared to do what God needs you to do. And what we find later on in the story of Gideon, Gideon questions, he sort of wrestles with this call, but in the end he takes it. And he ends up, in the way the story goes, you can read it for yourself in Judges 6 and 7. Gideon asks for signs and he receives them that he is supposed to be. He doubts himself all along the way, just like we doubt ourselves all along the way. But Gideon goes and he prepares. He prepares the army of the children of Israel. He does what the Lord says. On their way to fight the Midianites, he prepares and does as the Lord commands and culls the herd so that he only has 300 men by the time he shows up. And it turns out that because he had prepared and he had listened to the Lord, those 300 men didn't have to lift a finger other than to set up, start some fires and blow some trumpets and set up some torches, because God granted them victory because they had prepared. Jesus talks about preparing. In John chapter 14, we find that Jesus talks about going and preparing. I love how this chapter starts. In verse 1, it says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So we find that Jesus himself, I love how he starts that off. See, he says, don't let your heart be troubled by anything that's going to happen. Don't let your heart be troubled by anything that you're going to be asked to do. Don't let your heart be troubled by what's coming, by the event. Noah, don't let your heart be troubled by the flood. Gideon, don't let your heart be troubled by the Midianites. To you listening tonight, don't let this event coming up trouble your heart. Because you believe in God, believe in me. Believe that we can do this, and then prepare, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. A lot of people don't realize this. You know, they think, well, after the resurrection, if they think about the resurrection at all, they think that Christ is resurrected and he sits on the right, and he does. He sits on the right-hand throne of God. But he is preparing a place for you and me. He is doing that right now, even as we speak. He is preparing a place for you and me. How do I know that? Because he told me that's what he was doing. God's Word. You know, I love God's Word because that's what it is. It's not a book. The Bible is the only bound pages with ink that isn't a book. It's so much more. It's a word. It is the Word of God. And you can believe it tonight. And Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place for you. So preparation is important even to our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to prepare himself before he began his ministry. He had to prepare himself in the Garden of Gethsemane for what was coming, for his coming arrest and what was going to happen. Because he would need all of his faculties when they started in on the torture and the shaming and the beating. He would need all of his will to take that for you and me. And because he was prepared, he was able to accomplish that. There are things that each and every one of us are called to do. God needs our action. He needed Noah's, or else the entire human race would have ended. He needed Gideon's, or the children of Israel would have been lost. Christ needed to prepare in order to save you and me. God wants you to prepare because he wants you to take action. Not in the event that's coming, but he wants you to take action now. We have so many Christians today. You know, the stat that has been thrown around a lot is that 80% of our churches are failing. And I believe that. In other words, they're losing members instead of gaining them. And I believe that. I believe that statistic. You have a lot of churches that are just a few funerals away from closing the doors, is a phrase used in ministry. And that's not what God intended. That is not what God wants from you. God does not need you to be his bench warmer. That pew does not need your butt to keep it warm or polished. Instead, God needs you to take action. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, I'm not even saved. Well, if you're not saved, get saved. Talk to Jesus. Repair that relationship with God. Accept the gift that Christ gives to you of eternal salvation. And for everybody else, if you are saved and you're not in church, find a church. Don't know which one to go to? Ask God. He will tell you. Promise. I promise you he will do that. He will show you where he wants you to be because he has a plan for you. You see, he has a plan for you and he needs you to take action to be prepared to execute that plan. God needs you. Your fellow Christians, we need you. We need you too. We need as many people in this fight, and that's what it is. It's a fight as we can get. And I don't care if you're 18. I don't care if you're 16. I don't care if you're 21. I don't care if you're in college. I don't care if you're out of college. I don't care if you're 30 or you're 40 or you're 50 or you're 60 or you're 70 or you're 80 or you're 90. If you're 100, we might give you a little bit of slack, maybe. But God still has a purpose for you, even if you're 100. So don't take too much rest. And I hear that. I hear a lot of older people, you know, which happens to make up a lot of our churches. We have, an aging population in a lot of our churches. And there are a lot of you out there who, and I've heard people say, I have done my time in church. Church is not a vocation where you get to retire. Working for God does not have a retirement plan. It's not 20 years and out. If you spent 15 or 20 years working in Sunday school, bless your heart, you are amazing. Thank you for your service. Check with God. He may have something new for you to do that He needs you to prepare for. If you're one of our wiser church members, you have a lot of experience that us young people and that us younger generations can use. You have a lot of practical knowledge that we can use. If you spent 20 years teaching Sunday school, then you've learned how to teach some Sunday school. And there's a lot of young people who can get in there and they can wrangle the kids and they can wrangle the classrooms, but they have no idea how to be Sunday school teachers. Teach them. Be a mentor to a teenager. There's a lot of teenagers out there who don't even know who their grandparents are. They need you. And I'm not just picking on those who are older and wiser. Those of us who've, you know, been successful, who've had careers, who are in the zenith of our work life, we've got skills too. We have knowledge of organization. We have management skills. We have practical knowledge that God can use to build His kingdom and to make things better. But to use that, you have to get up off of a pew and speak to God and then do what Noah did, do what Gideon did, and do what Jesus is doing, which is prepare, take action. Those two words are synonymous. Step up in this fight that we're in. There is an entire world, an entire country, an entire state, an entire county or parish, an entire city, an entire neighborhood that needs you. That needs you to stand up, that needs you to prepare, needs you to listen to God, speak to Him, find out what He wants you to do, and take action to prepare. Because when the event gets here, it's too late to prepare. Then you're either flying by the seat of your pants or you're going to fail. And God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. Go out there and be a winner for Christ today. Be a success story for Christ today. I'm your host, John A. Guffey, and I thank you all for joining me tonight on FMG Live. Remember to check out our archived episodes on blogtalkradio.com. Have a great night.